All right, Ron, now it's time for the college. And I tell you, I've been waiting for this for about the last 2 weeks once you set it up. I get a little teary-eyed every time she comes on. I'm so looking forward to this. Who do we've got going on today?
We've got – this is amazing. We've got a friend of the show, a wonderful person, very, very smart person, Caroline Blazowski, America's Healthy Home Expert, and she has huge news for us today. Caroline is the CEO of My Healthy Home, a company specializing in indoor air products, consultations, and services. She really knows her stuff. She is extremely credentialed, and in 2020, she was chosen one of the top 25 leading women entrepreneurs in New Jersey. She's been interviewed many times by us, SiriusXM, AARP, Reader's Digest, many radio and TV programs. Caroline, your company just became a national distributor for the Houston-based company Integrated Viral Protection, IVP. Their website claims that their IVP biodefense indoor air system, the only existing air filter system which can instantaneously catch and kill airborne COVID-19, other RNA viruses, and anthrax spores in a single pass. See, I got through all that stuff, okay? This is very big and very welcome claim. How'd you come about?
I was following a lot of technologies, you know, since COVID came around. So I was paying attention to something that came out of the mechanical engineering department over at Texas A&M. And I had watched this technology, which is called heated HEPA filtration, which is HEPA, H-E-P-A. And they had won an award for engineering for this product or for the technology. So I saw it and I said, you know, I'm going to follow this company and see where they go. And sure enough, it worked out. And here we are, you know, a little while later with them.
And now you're a distributor too, right?
Correct. So we approached the company about that we liked the technology and they were making manufacturing units. And we said, look, we'd really like to launch this to our clients and nationally. And so we struck a deal with them to do that. It's my job to educate people on the product and how it works.
How does it work?
For both you guys, I mean, you're both familiar with HEPA, right? High-efficiency particulate air filtration. So we'll let Kevin, I mean, do you want to talk about that, Kevin, what you know about it? Like, so not to put you on the spot, but tell people, you know, how HEPA works or what you know about it.
Well, basically what we do is I try to buy the HEPA filters for my shop vacs or if we're doing some type of cleanup. Mm-hmm. For our cleanup, that's what we want to be cleaning up with. Not just doing a broom. I'm not really just a big fan of doing the broom. So we have a lot of the HEPA filters we use for our tools to make it a little bit better and cleaner for the environment that we work in.
Exactly. So, and HEPA filtration has been around a long time, you know, also with HVAC. So we use these are the highest efficiency filters that we can use, and they basically can get down to a very, very small number, right? So for layman's, for people to understand, particulate can be very small. And when we talk about COVID, right, we're talking about something that's less than a micron big, a very, very small particle. And so HEPA, up until now, allowed us to do that. It allowed us to get to a smaller particle, not so small as COVID, but pretty small. So, you know, we know a lot of people are putting in technologies now because of the pandemic. And we've seen, you know, a lot of people just reacted. They said, oh my gosh, we have to do something, right? And so we didn't really have the technology of IVP back a year ago. It just started to become really prevalent in the last few months where it was accessible. But, you know, people panicked and they put in a lot of products. And unfortunately, a lot of those products, some work, some don't work. They don't have the studies behind them, but IVP came and they went to Galveston National Laboratory, which is this amazing lab. For people who don't know what it is, it's in Texas. They basically test every type of infectious disease. So it's a place you don't want to go hang out, as far as I'm concerned, but they are able to test things like anthrax and Ebola and obviously COVID. And so what they did with this particular device was they used this technology called heated HEPA filtration, and they put it up against real offenders. And they didn't use what I call particulate-like. Like, so a lot of these companies, when you're seeing this filtration that they'll pitch you on, they say, oh, it was tested in a lab and they used a like virus or a like substance. That's not what this company did. They actually went and used real virus, real anthrax, real SARS-CoV-2, and they were successful at eliminating it in one pass through the system. And then what they did was they took it into real-time application. And they went to hospitals and they said, okay, we're going to use this and we're going to do testing at the same time while we're testing for COVID-19. We're going to be also testing to see if the unit's eradicating it, and it was successful. So that was huge.
Huge isn't the word for it. I mean, so if this had been out there last year in hospitals, you would have had a lot fewer healthcare workers getting sick, right? Because they're protected in their native environment, right?
100%. And we know this is airborne transmission, which means that anything that gets out into the air, you know, it makes us susceptible. And so in Wuhan, and I think last time we spoke, we talked a little bit about this when we were talking about COVID, but there were studies where people were social distancing and they were wearing their masks and they were in restaurants and someone coughed near an HVAC return and that got deposited all over the building and everybody got COVID.
Right.
We'd be filtering the air. That's, you know, where we can be successful, I think.
Well, I got a question coming up related to that. But first, not all pathogens work the same, right? But the biodefense system works the same to eradicate all pathogens. Am I right about that?
If a pathogen gets in the airstream of the IVP, the IVP gets up to 400 degrees roughly Fahrenheit. It's 200 degrees Celsius. And so what it does is, and it's really interesting, it's sort of an embedded, imagine a HEPA filter, which is just for people who don't know, a very thick filter, right? So you've got this very large thick filter. And so what they did was they took a technology where they basically embedded like a stainless steel mesh within the filter prior, I think it's actually prior to the filter. And so when this gets very hot, so it gets up to 400 degrees. But the interesting thing is you can go up and hug the device. You can feel the air around the device and there's no ambient air change, meaning that you don't feel heat. It's not like a dehumidifier. You know, Kevin knows like when a dehumidifier runs, right, you get that heat that comes off the back end.
400 is like you have your oven on bake, right?
Right. It's like easy bake oven on steroids. Right? Like, it's amazing. And so when these things get pulled in, the heat eliminates them. And what I find interesting is not only was it effective, they used anthrax because anthrax is one of the hardest biologicals we have to eliminate in general. And of course, we worry about it with, you know, biologic warfare and things like that. But they were successful with that. And if you could be successful with that, the premise is that you can be successful with anything else that would come, like a flu or, you know, if you had swine flu or SARS or MERS, et cetera.
I'm looking at it as a homeowner. Now, if I'm listening to the show and saying, hey, listen, you know, Carolyn, this is great. Why don't we explain what it is? Like if I'm at a restaurant, would I see this at a restaurant, somebody going to be using at restaurants? What would it look like? What are they going to be using? Is it part of the mechanical system?
So what's great about this technology, Kevin, right? So we're launching this in restaurants right now. And so we have a display and it looks like a standard air purifier. I mean, it's a little larger and it sits, it's a white unit that sits in the corner that can do 1800 square feet. But then we also have giant units that we had at the Super Bowl, which was kind of amazing. Those are venue units. They're called V1. They can do 50,000 cubic feet. They're like big towers. Hilton Hotels, from what I was made aware of from IVP, they just came aboard and they're actually going to be implementing the technology through all the hotels. So that's an amazing thing. Obviously in New Jersey, because we're, you know, a prevalent park player here, we're doing it in all the restaurants and trying to get the assisted livings on board. And so, yes, to answer your question, to go back to it, it's a mobile unit. So there's different size mobile units. There's a travel unit, there's a mid-size unit, and there's a large unit. Okay. So you could see one in a location and put it in the airspace. But this technology is also amazing because it can be retrofitted to your HVAC. So with a little help and obviously some engineers and HVAC, you can actually put this into your system. So you won't have that blue basketball filter anymore.
So it could go into an HVA system in your home, in a restaurant?
Yes.
In anywhere, yes. Right?
Anywhere. That's assisted amazing. Living. So like we're looking at it assisted livings now. So you'll replace the filter. It's kind of large, so it requires some architect, you know, I mean a engineer and some HVAC, which is what we're working on. And then the company is also working with some of the big players, I think like Honeywell and Trane and others, to make filters more accessible, smaller, and easily more applicable to every residential HVAC. So that's in the works. You know, the company's new. So
all right, so let's go down the line here and mention different establishments that were, a lot of them had a lot of problems during COVID, and you still have to wear masks in many states. And how about the average size supermarket? What size unit or how many units would it take to clean the average size supermarket?
Well, it's like in a supermarket situation, you'd always want to go through the HVAC system it would be. Right, because it's so much, you're talking about bigger spaces like that, it's so much more economical. But in a restaurant, for example, we're doing two restaurants like steakhouses, just to give an example, they could go with a V1, which is the 50,000 cubic, and they'd probably, depending on the size of the restaurant, some can go with the 1,800 square feet unit. And this is giving you 10 air exchanges. So with a traditional ASHRAE standard of 2 air exchanges, this is giving you 10. So it's going to pull in, circulate that air, put it out, and it'll do it 10 times versus doing it 2 times. So people people understand, like when you're recirculating that air, how many times is it going to do that? So it's a 10 time exchange. It will remove COVID from a space, the 1800 R1 unit, 15 minutes, and you will have a COVID-free space.
All right. And here's another very controversial today space, and that's schools. That would go through HVAC too, right?
Yes. And a lot of the schools have now gotten CARES money. You know, a lot of this comes down to, because we're out there, right? We're selling this product currently and trying to get it implemented. One, it's hard for us because we're getting a lot of pushback because people already invested in technologies. Whether they work or not is irrelevant. They just spent dollars on that technology because this wasn't available. So that's one issue. The other issue is, you know, with school systems and budgets, it's always an economic piece, right? So getting schools to understand that this is an investment for long term. I mean, we're looking at this as not just for this pandemic, but for future pandemics, because we know it's going to happen. There's no question.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And it could happen next year. There's no timetable. Pathogens don't have a timetable. They're going to come at you when they come at you. Let's talk about cost. Let's run back through those things and the cost of installing one in a pretty good size HVA system in a school, in a restaurant, in a home, like a 2,000 square foot home. Kevin laughs at me all the time. I always use the 2,000 square foot home example.
It's like clockwork. 8 years of this, Caroline, 8 years.
Oh my God. No, so, you know, the problem with IVP right now is the price point. I think the price point's high, and I think that it's eventually going to come down just because, like any new technology, right? If you go get a new iPhone, right, it's going to cost you $1,800 when you walk out the door. So it's the same thing, but I think, and they also have a lot of expenses to recoup because they did actually their due diligence with FDA testing, CDC testing, and then of course, Galveston National Lab. With that being said, a little unit like a T1, will run about $950, and that unit will do 350 square feet. It's called our travel unit. So you can take it with you. You can go to a hotel. You can go in the car. If you feel like you want to take it to a restaurant, it's portable, which I think is great. You know, that's really accessible for kids in dorms and places where you can, you know, you have a very small space. I have an R1, which is in my house, and I utilize it when we're not using it. It's a demo. That one is $6,000, and that does almost 2,000 square feet.
So it's much more expensive.
Yeah, that's a home. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the V1s, which are venue units, those run about 19,000 and change. They're big. I mean, those are for huge venues like hotels, spaces where you have a lot of people, and those are quite pricey. But that would be for schools as well. Those are for big facilities. Now, if you go to an HVAC, installing it on your HVAC, you're looking at a filter, which runs about $2,500, and you're looking at a controller, which runs about, you know, $22,000. So you're looking about $4,500 in expense to install it, which is great. I mean, it's much better to do that and you do your whole home, you know? So obviously to go the retrofit's better if you can fit it.
In terms of what's going on in Washington now and the infrastructure program that was just announced the other day, which may or may not be in its current form, have you guys looked into tax credits for this?
Yeah, I don't know that IVP has, you know, right now they're just trying to, I think, more so launch the technology and, you know, they're in the hotel chains, they're in the restaurants, they're in the public health sectors, they're in jail facilities, hospitals, that type of thing. So eventually I'm sure something will materialize, but right now it's just, I think it's such a startup that everybody's trying to just launch it.
It's penetration and market penetration. Yep. But yeah, and you probably need a lobbying outfit to do that too.
You know, right now it's about education because people don't, this is new technology. No one even knows it exists. So everybody keeps going back to, well, I have HEPA or I have ionizer or I have a regular filter. And we're trying to explain to them, yeah, but this is a different type of technology. This is looking forward at eradicating, actually eliminating. Like there isn't a chance it gets caught up in the filter and gets pushed through. This eliminates it 99%, right? 0.999 effective at completely eliminating it. That doesn't mean it hangs out in the filter. It's not a risk if your HVAC contractor has to change it. It's gone. So I think that's a big thing.
Here's one that's near and dear to my heart because we had a cruise plan for this year, but it's touch and go because the Canadian government is saying they're not going to let any cruise ships into port until 2022. So we're thinking about canceling that. What about cruise lines, airlines, hotels for this? Seems like a natural.
We already have. Yeah, we just had a meeting the other day with a gentleman who is quite connected with airports and cruise lines. So I think that's going to be a way to go. And he really felt, you know, he has a lot of experience working within these sectors. And he said that the cruise lines are really important. And also like the T1s, you know, we look at it like if they're on a boat, right? Say you're on a cruise, they could sell these for, you know, revenue dollars, right? Because everything comes down to revenue, and these people want to make money as well. And if they're investing in a technology like this, they want to be able to say, you know, we need money too. So what's great is I think with the T1s, you could sell them on a cruise ship. And if people want to have the extra protection to have in their room, they could, which I think is, you know, really cool.
Yeah, the average cruise ship room, if you get a nice room, is probably less than fewer than 400 square feet. So it seems right. like that and little unit take, would do it. Yeah.
And you could take this with you. You know, like I picture it like if you go up to a bar or you're going to sit somewhere, you're going to the gym, you take this little unit with you. It's kind of like a portable unit that you carry. And that's the structure we're looking at hotels as well, trying to get, you know, this could be a revenue driver for them as well. And then you can purchase the unit and take it with you. Once you get it, it's yours and you could take it home. And if you go on vacation again, you have one.
How about like a commuter railroad? You know, the doors are constantly opening and closing. Would that make a difference in how this thing performs?
Yeah. I mean, you want, you know, the more closed up the environment is, you know, the better it is. Because if you keep introducing fresh air, I mean, it's still going to be doing its job. And the more dilution is better anyway. So the more you have diluted space and it with the IVP working, I think it would be just as successful. But, you know, if you're introducing new contaminated air, like so say you bring in air from a space that has COVID, that might not be so good. But if you were bringing in fresh air and dilution, that would be better. Because you always want to dilute. You know, the big thing with this virus is we've always talked about dilution and making sure the air is, you know, the less concentration of COVID you have, the less susceptibility you have to capturing, to getting it.
Yeah, I figure with restaurants, with the warmer weather coming up, it's going to make a bigger difference that they have the availability to open those windows, maybe open the doors for the couple of months.
Yeah, that's my point. Hot. That's my point. Yeah.
So you get the best of both worlds. You got your system working, and then you have that fresh air that's
fresh
coming
air
in. Dilution.
Coming in
I think it's a great idea.
Is this good news for people like me who have allergies too?
Yeah, I mean, they really haven't tested it against, and we've been doing some independent testing that, you know, with clients who have allergies to see if it could be successful. I mean, you're talking about something that gets to 400 degrees. So think about your clothes, right? So when you wash something in a washing machine, the benefit of it is it gets to 140 degree temperature. It eradicates mold, viruses, protein, you know, anything that would be on your laundry, allergens, heats it to a temperature, it destroys it. So utilizing this technology, it's the same thing. We're heating something to 400 degrees. I think extremely successful dealing with allergies and other particulates. So, you know, we're excited about it. And I feel like it gives us a lot of options. A lot of these products that are out there put off a lot of ozone and they have byproducts that are not good. And we don't want that. You know, we want to be able to provide clean air without having a byproduct. So I really like this technology for lots of reasons.
What's your plan to take the biodefense message to America? You guys have got to be working on that right now, right?
Yeah, right now we're like, we kind of are honing in on, you know, different sectors, right? So we're looking at the airports, we're looking at, like we talked about, cruise lines, hotels, hospitality, and then of course restaurants, medical facilities and hospitals. And then of course homeowners, you know, making sure that if homeowners want the technology, they can. And we're really just, you know, learning how to implement it, working with engineers, working with the HVAC developers to, you know, you have to train people, right? We have to know how these systems can go in and with a new technology, it's always changing. So it's kind of, you know, it's a learning curve for everybody, but I think it's something that was really important. And I think the people behind it, the inventor who is Manzer Hirani, he's actually being on April 8th, he's being nominated and selected, I think, as one of the top engineering technologies to change the world. So it's a big deal. There's going to be a big event in Houston and we're all invited to go. And, you know, this is a very profound technology. I mean, it's something very different that we've never seen, which is exciting. And it could change the way we live in buildings and inside. So,
yeah, amazing. Profound isn't the word for it. Kevin's got a question. Yeah, here.
So I told a lot of the people that you were coming on the air and I was recording the show. But I remember they were talking about you when you were on the air with us in the last time we were on the radio. A lot of people were asking about, hey, with Caroline coming on, could you ask her a couple questions just so they can get them out? And I wanted to just go back to in the beginning, you and I talked about we really didn't know much about the virus, and people were so anxious about over-cleaning, using those Clorox wipes and just really over-cleaning the house. And I said, well, listen, I don't think that's a great idea, but why don't I just do this? I'm going to ask Caroline and see if people today are over-cleaning. Now, the technology's come out, I get that, but still, do people need to go that route and over clean the house, do a lot of the Clorox wipes? I know some things aren't too good for the health of people, but maybe you could just brief on that so our listeners can understand.
Yeah. Sure. Well, we know this is airborne transmitted, right? So it kind of changes that whole game. I mean, you still want to sanitize like a normal person, but I don't think you have to go to the extremes that people were going to because they didn't know how this transmitted, right? We just didn't have the knowledge. Now we know it's airborne transmission. And we know that certain things cause this virus to hang in the air longer. So when the virus originally came out, Kevin, we thought that the hot air, right? Everybody thought, oh, it's going to be great because it's warm out. The virus is going to like it's just going to burn it up. And it's not going to, you know, people had all these weird concepts of like what would happen, but we all thought the warmer weather would be better. What we actually found, the Academy of Physics and then a study out at the University of Missouri found that the humidity actually causes the virus to hang in the air 23 times longer. So it was a misconception. So really controlling your humidity and making sure you stay between 30 and 55% indoors is key. You do not want high relative humidity. It will allow the particulate. So when you sneeze, you know, it comes out, right? People spray, like when you cough or sneeze or, you know, just even sing, things like that, you get moisture droplets that come out of the body, which contain, if you are infected, SARS-CoV-2. And that will hang in the air much longer. So trying to control, keep things dry or not too dry. You don't want to dry out your nasal passages, but you don't want humid. So it's interesting, right? But,
so in other words, if you combine a good humidifier, dehumidifier with this system, you're pretty much set, aren't you?
Yeah. I think controlling the environment is key. And I've always said that, right? I mean, you know, I'm not a, you know, anyone who knows me knows that I really truly believe that 85% of disease states in this world are contributed by our environment, and we don't look enough at that. And the more we start to investigate it, you know, it just seems strange to me when we're dealing with a virus or a pandemic, we have to look at the environment as a way to change things, right? Or to manipulate how the virus is able to survive, especially with an airborne transmitted disease, for sure.
I know a lot of people are buying those Clorox wipes to disinfect. I think that was one of the big problems. But is that a major problem still? That I know you have to wash your hands and still disinfect, but is it an overall concern for our listeners to say, hey, listen, we've got to do a lot of cleaning with those wipes because it is a surface borne also?
Yeah, no. I mean, the problem with the Clorox wipes, or well, I don't want to say Clorox, but disinfection wipes in general, is they have high amounts of alcohol. And so when we test air quality, it's very easy if you're using them or storing them for your indoor air quality levels of volatile organics to get off the charts high. So, you know, you don't want to be storing big packs of these things. That's the first thing. Like, even though they're not open, people don't realize they're constantly outgassing. And Ron, you had those in your house. Remember, you had packs of them under the counters and in the kitchen, and you didn't even know they were there.
I didn't
and
they know
really
they were
just
there.
Outgassed.
My wife, before she died, bought a bunch of them, and we were testing the air quality of my house, right? And Caroline said, where was the test unit placed? And she says, do you have a bathroom nearby? I said, yeah, I do. And she said, look underneath the sink. And son of a gun, they were there. She knew exactly where they were.
The tests don't lie. So when I look at, you know, and I've looked at 30,000 houses in my career, which is a lot of houses, you know, these are big offender. And you don't, like I said, this is an airborne transmitted virus. I mean, look, the information I've read, I've rarely read anything where anybody picked it up on a surface. But I guess if technically someone sneezes on your remote control and then you take your hand and stick it up your nose, could you contact the virus? Yes. But I mean, I would think so. Yeah. I think if you go eating on your fingers after you're touching like the cart at the grocery store, but I mean, you know, having good general hygiene, making sure you're not doing that. What you have to worry about is someone sneezing and you walking through their space. They cough, they sneeze, they talk, and then you walk through it and you pick it up. And unfortunately, you know, the mask, especially if you're not wearing an N95 in particular, you know, you're not going to get protection. It's going to go through. So that's why us as indoor air quality professionals, my job is very important because we've got to clean the air. We even if somebody comes into that space and coughs, how can we eradicate that out of the air faster? And that's why we're using the technologies like we're talking about.
Now, when you get to extreme market penetration with this, which could take a while, isn't that the same general effect as would be achieved with herd immunity? Because you're locking up all these indoor spaces, and the more of them you lock up, the less chance somebody's got of getting whatever's coming down the pike in a supermarket, in an airline, or whatever. Isn't it like herd immunity almost?
I mean, I think it would be just eradicating the more you can eradicate the transmission, right? The less transmission you're going to get.
Exactly.
So if you've only got 5 people transmitting versus having 50,000 transmitting, it makes sense. So anytime, and that's why I never really understood, like when we were looking at this topic in general, just for you know, when government officials were talking about it, no one ever said, look, hey, what can we do to clean the air? I mean, they kind of did, right? I mean, they very, very minimal, like, oh, use, you know, HEPA filtration. But to me, they should have put a whole bunch of people in the think tank and said, listen, you guys can't come out of a room. And you take, you know, someone like Kevin, you take a contractor, you take someone like you, an architect, myself, I mean, doctors, everyone, you put everybody in a room and just say, listen, people, you're not coming out until you come up with a solution. And you put a bunch of minds together and you'll come up with stuff.
I think,
you
know, over time, it's a very interesting point you're making there.
Yeah, but it's all about time. Everything you need to know, you need to educate yourself on what this is. And once everybody really started to figure out what it was from the beginning, I think nobody knew then. Now they're getting a grasp. It's not perfect yet, but there's some great. I mean, this right here, this invention, this is it's
phenomenal.
It's future. This is it. It's going to be the future for it.
So there was no government connection in the development of this, was there?
No. You know, I'm a very entrepreneurial person, right? So when I start to look at things, that's why I really try to, whether it's women entrepreneur, men entrepreneur, you know, whatever you are, it's important to really foster that, because in our country in particular, I think the solutions come from a lot of these, you know, startup businesses who really put themselves on the line every day to create these technologies. And the more you can foster that and bring people together to get them thinking, I think the better it is, you know. So that's, you know, that's just my take on it, because I don't feel, you know, the government isn't really going to provide that answer for us. It always seems to be it's, you know, the people who are willing to take the risk, whether you look at someone like Elon Musk, who really wants to get us, you know, to Mars and expand the space program, or, you know, Bill Gates trying to use technology. I just find it very fascinating that, you know, these are the people who really do change and alter where we're progressing as a nation.
Three cheers for capitalism.
Four.
It is what it is.
I want to give you time to talk about how people reach out to you to find out more about this, but talk to us about just for a minute or so, because we're winding down here. Talk to us about your thinking. And I think it's the head of the CDC's thinking too, that more of this stuff is going to come down the pike.
Yeah, though we're talking about IVP for the call, but I mean, I'm an environmental consultant. People hire me to come into their homes to evaluate, you know, is your home healthy? I love doing residential, though I've gotten pulled in because of my experience. I'm doing a lot of commercial application now just because, you know, of COVID. But I really like looking at environments, and Ron knows, and Kevin as well, that I believe that your environment really plays a big part into how you feel, your wellness, whether it's allergies or serious things like cancer. Your environment really can play and participate in that. So we look at all the different things in a home, right? Your VOC levels, your chemical levels, your carcinogen levels, your allergy levels, you know, in this case, virus levels. And we test these things and find out what could be potentially affecting you and help you to create a healthier lifestyle. And so, and we use, it's all science-based, right? So that's what I like to do. And, you know, that's my love and passion.
And you are following your passion to the T. My hat's off to you. Kevin's
tipping
his hat to you, too.
Absolutely.
Right now. So tell us, how do people find out more about, specifically about this product and about your company?
So anyone can, you know, we're on social media. So the name of the company is My Healthy Home. And, or you can reach us at healthyhomeexpert.com, either Healthy Home Expert or My Healthy Home. Just, you know, you can Google us. We come up all over the place. So you can use social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, whatever you prefer. And then, you know, if you go to our website, there's a lot of great podcasts just like this one. And obviously you guys are on there as well. And just people can learn, start learning about how important your environment is to health. It's not everything, right? You need to look at get your scans, get your blood work, go for your physicals. And if you don't have answers and you still have health complaints, you really need to look at your environment and start paying attention to what's there and how it affects you. And I think moving forward, you know, we're finding like Silicon Valley, there's going to be a lot of interesting apps that are coming out and designs with electronic records. So you guys would find this interesting that they're going to, when you go for an exam, there's going to be a time where they're going to look at your symptoms through your electronic records, and it's going to flag that you're going to need an environmental investigation in your home or at office, depending on, like, so if the doctor checks off all these things and the symptoms don't match up to anyone else, automatically to refer you to an indoor air quality professional.
Yeah, you look around the house. Look around the house. Yeah, Caroline, this has been absolutely magnificent. Big news. You know, we wish you all the best of luck with this product and your business. So, I'd love to have you on again to give us an update on this as the year progresses.
We'll bring you guys an IVP and you can hook it up in the studio and we can all take our masks off.
Perfect.
Be nice.
All right,
Caroline. Thanks again for coming on the Your Valuable Home podcast.
Thanks a million.
Good luck, guys. Thanks.
Okay. Bye bye.